I'm sorry if you came to see Pastor Blaine. He's not here. He's at home and he's resting with his family, which I think is a great segue into the reminder that we are in a sermon series called The Summer of Sacrifice and Surrender. And the first sermon that Pastor Blaine preached was actually about resting. He used the scripture, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think it's important that we all have rhythms of rest, but I think it's also important that you see examples of rhythms of rest. So Pastor Blaine is resting this weekend. I was away last weekend taking some time off. Margie, if you didn't know, is in a season of resting. She is taking a sabbatical for the next 2 months. So as you saw, Serve Day is coming up. What a better opportunity to serve and surrender to the Lord than to help us take a bunch of kids all over town and serve the community, right? Right? If you are available and interested in helping both with children's ministry during the next 2 months and with Serve Day, you can see Elena. She's out at the check-in counter. But we believe that a rhythm of rest is not only essential, it's biblical. It's something that the Lord has given us as a gift to help us stay well and help us stay submitted and surrendered to Him. This morning, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about trials and tools. So the first week, Pastor Blaine talked about the yoke being easy, the burden being light, the yoke that Jesus puts upon us. Last week, we talked about the cross and how the cross is something that we carry. It's a symbol of what it means to follow Jesus, that we're called to die to ourselves and pick up His cross and follow Him. And then he's going to talk about the plow in a future sermon. And all of these things are both tools and trials. When I think of these things, I think about hard work or hard things. And inside of this sermon series, we are learning about sacrifice and surrender and submission and all of these things. But what we need to know or remember is that the Lord has given us tools to help us along the journey. It's not easy to surrender. It's not easy to sacrifice. It's not easy, you know, that word submission. A lot of people don't like that word either. And for better or for worse, it's not something that the world values at all. The world values independence. The world values an I can do it attitude. But the Lord values a humble, submitted heart to Him. Today, I want to ask you, what trials are you facing? Or maybe what trials have you faced in the past that have given you tools to accomplish the goals that you have today? Or maybe you walked with someone else through a hard time in their life and you learned something out of that. The Lord uses people, situations, trials, and tribulation to give us tools to use on our journey as we pursue Him. Amen. In your bulletin, there are three main questions, which we're going to circle back to, but I just want to bring these to your mind right now. And as I'm talking about the tools that the Lord's provided for us, I want you to remember these questions. Number one is, am I fully submitted to God? Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Number two, am I fully surrendered to God? Luke 22:42 says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Number three, am I fully committed to sacrificing for Him? Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it doesn't return void, Lord, and I ask that you just bless it today, Lord. Help us to absorb what you want us to absorb and leave what you want us to leave, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. And as always, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is it your greatest desire to be at the center of God's will, even if it's painful? We have been talking a lot in the last couple weeks about surrender and sacrifice and hardship, and all these tools and all these things contribute to a lesson sometimes, yes, but in the best case scenario, it contributes to a toolbox that we now have access to at any time to use what the Lord has taught us to help others, to serve Him, to serve others, and to take care of ourselves and the things that He's asked us to take care of. It's funny because my devotional yesterday was actually about surrender and submission and sacrifice. I didn't know that because, you know, it's a year-long devotional. You go as you're supposed to go, and I love how the Lord does that for me. But it was about Abraham and Isaac. And it was about how Abraham had this child that he loved so much, and then the Lord asked him to sacrifice him. And it's funny because Abraham, I'm not saying that he wanted to do it, but he definitely was going to do it. And the thing that this devotion was talking to him about was how at least in that moment, Abraham had his priorities straight. He loved Isaac so much, probably with so much of his being, but he loved God more. And that's my prayer as I've been meditating on service and sacrifice and surrender. Is it possible for me to love God more? And the answer is yes. We can always love God more. We can always know God more. And so what do we need to shift and change or use in our lives to achieve that goal of knowing God more? And so we're going to look at these tools for submission, surrender, and sacrifice. They're scripture, prayer, fasting, service, and discipleship. And I am well aware that this is not an exhaustive list of all the tools that the Lord gives you. But I would say, and I would argue, that you cannot submit to the Lord or surrender to Him or sacrifice for Him without these things. You have to know the scripture. You have to know God's word and what He says to you. You have to be prayerful, not only coming to Him and petitioning to Him, but having that relationship with Him where you can talk to Him, right? You need to understand and fast. And the Bible shows us over and over again, it talks about fasting and praying, and that is something that should be part of our lives. And I would say that it's really hard to understand the word submission if you have not fasted ever. Service is super important. We're called to serve others. We're called to serve the Lord. We're called to be good stewards. And then discipleship kind of puts all this together. We're called to be in relationship. We're called to be in community. We're called to be in church and take communion together. We're called to all these things. But in the sense of we need to be submitted to one another as Christ is to the church. So as we look at the first point of scripture, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our own lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. The Bible explicitly states that scripture is a tool. Scripture is a tool to train, correct, and equip the believers. The scripture is used as a mirror. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Scripture reveals our true spiritual condition. Scripture is meant to be a reflection of who we are and who Jesus is in us, but it also exposes us in a way that cuts deep. Hebrews tells us that the word is a sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces into the human heart, and it separates truth from lies. It exposes hidden motives, and it reveals our thoughts. But in the same way, it's also a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. So the word is an essential tool in your toolbox. And like I said before, you cannot submit to the Lord, you cannot surrender to Him, and you cannot serve others if you don't have a grasp on what Scripture says about those things. The Bible also says that scripture is spiritual nourishment. Matthew 4:4 says that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The scripture is essential daily for us to feed our souls. It's how we grow. It's how we survive. It's how we become and emerge into this walk with Jesus. The second tool is prayer. I love the verse in Nehemiah. It's chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven." Now, I do want to point out, in the Bible, prayer and fasting often happen together. I would say you probably shouldn't have one without the other. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't make it through fasting without prayer. And at the same time, when you put them together, I think it's a catalyst for God to do something new or to break something old. The Bible says that prayer is used for spiritual warfare, for intercession, for deliverance, for relationship, for communion. Like I said, it gets us closer to the Lord, gets us closer together with each other when we pray together. It's a tool for submission in the sense that it helps us to align ourselves with the Lord. When we talk to the Lord, when we listen to the Lord, when we're going the same direction as He is, then it helps us to surrender to His will and submit to His purposes. Prayer is, of course, a tool for requesting help. We ask the Lord for help. The Bible tells us to pray and petition the Lord. It's a tool for healing and for forgiveness, for protection, and for helping others. And then fasting goes along with that, but fasting is a deliberate spiritual tool used to humble ourselves. It humbles the human body and it elevates the spirit. It's a tool for surrender specifically. Psalms 35:13 says, "I humbled myself with fasting." Fasting is an outward expression of an inward posture of lowliness before the Lord. I don't know about you. I remember the first time that I actually did a real live fast where I didn't lie or cheat through it. It was like 15 years ago, and it was a real food fast. Before that, I'd gotten away with fasting caffeine or chocolate or my cell phone or TV or whatever. I picked other things because I love food. And so we did this fast at our church at the time, and it was the week of prayer and fasting that most of us do. And I really was convicted to actually participate and not eat for a week. And so inside of that, I asked the Lord, first of all, I knew I wasn't going to make it through it if I didn't pray. Second of all, I knew I wasn't going to make it through it if I didn't have other people and accountability inside of that. So I had people helping me and holding me accountable and praying for me. And also I asked the Lord to remind me every time I wanted food or every time I was hungry about why I was doing this. I wanted Him to remind me about who He was and that I was trying to submit to Him and to get closer to Him. And the first time I fasted, I was really doing it just out of obedience. Because God said to do it, so I did it. And I will tell you that in that week and time, the Lord grew me in leaps and bounds because I wasn't distracted. I had a purpose and I had a plan for that entire week. And the tool that I took out of that was that I can still have a purpose and a plan inside my week. And so the Lord will teach you something inside of fasting. The other thing that the Lord uses fasting for is to seek wisdom or clarity or direction, but He also uses it for spiritual breakthrough. If you're in addiction or if you have an issue that you're trying to overcome, or maybe it's somebody else, maybe you have a family member who you want to be saved or you're praying for somebody, fasting and praying is one of the best ways to break the chains of bondage. The next tool is service. Romans 12:6 says, "In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The Lord calls us when we say yes to him, when we say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. He calls us into a life of service. And not only that, he's already given you all the things that you need for this life of service. He's already given you tools. He's already given you instruction. He's given you a Bible. He's given you people around you. And you can do what he needs you to do. You can serve others. And this is where service is kind of tricky, because inside of it, you have to say no to yourself, and you have to say yes to not yourself. And I say it that way because I think so many times we think it's either or. And really, if we say no to ourselves, we're saying yes to more than one thing. We're saying yes to Jesus. We're saying yes to other people. We're saying yes to love. We're saying yes to care. We're saying yes to cultivating a community of sharing and caring. When we say no to ourselves, we're saying yes to so many other things. And that's hard, but that's also why it's called service, sacrifice, and submission. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Everything we have received, everything God has given us, every gift we have obtained should be used to serve one another. Another word for service is stewardship. We are called to steward everything that the Lord has given us well. That means that we're called to manage things and protect things and care for things. And as Christians, we're called to steward everything he's given us, which includes people and places and things. It includes our children and our relationships and our church and our money and our jobs and our city and our world. And I think the big takeaway from all of this for me this week was, I cannot serve the Lord and I cannot submit to him while keeping myself as number one in my life. If we're called to serve all these things, I was reminded that in the story of Abraham and Isaac, Abraham gives his son back to the Lord. And every gift that we've received is actually meant as something that we give back to him. It's actually something that's meant to lay at his feet and say, Lord, thank you. It's not mine. Do with it what you want to do. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about service and stewardship, is literally taking every single thing that you think is yours, even if it's yourself, and laying it at the feet of Jesus and saying, here, you do with this what you want for your glory in the name of Jesus. The last tool that I listed is discipleship, and I really think that discipleship kind of puts all these things into one thing, but it also is the hardest thing, which is probably why I put it at the bottom of my list. Relationships are hard. Spending time with people are hard. If you've mastered the chore of relationship, come talk to me. I'd love to hear all of your tips and tricks. The biggest issue with being a Christian isn't the world, it's other Christians, right? It's other people. The biggest hurdle that we face as a human being human is generally other humans and ourselves. It's really the two factors in the room are you and you and you and you, right? Relationships are what help us surrender to the Lord. Relationships are the things that reveal to us who we are. And I'm talking about healthy, honest, truthful relationships. The hard part is some of us don't have good examples of healthy relationships except for what the Lord has showed us. And so it's our job inside of discipleship. This is how we can learn to serve other people. This is how we can learn to pray together. This is how we can learn to be in community and in communion. We learn to trust. We learn to forgive. We learn to submit our relationships to the Lord, and then we release our expectations and lay all those things at his feet and say, Lord, do what you want with this relationship. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart and tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you, for their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. How many of us have mothers and fathers who have spoken the word over us, or who have prayed over us, or who have walked with us, even maybe when we weren't walking with them? This is discipleship. This is the definition of discipleship that I'm trying to describe, is it's relationship regardless of anything else. It's a commitment to one another to have unequivocal love for your brother and sister. It's to really live like Jesus lived and be love in the way that Jesus was loved to other people. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." Relationships are designed to cause friction. Does anybody like love knives or love sharpening knives? My husband loves knives. We have a ridiculous amount of knives. This is my life insurance policy. If my husband ever dies, I'm selling all of his knives and his flashlights, and I will be a rich woman. But here's the deal. We like to have sharp knives in our house, and we have knife sharpeners and all the things. And 9 times out of 10, I'm the one that will forget after we sharpen the knife to clean it. Because you know what a knife sharpener does? It creates friction. It creates friction on the metal so that you're pulling off all of the bad pieces. And this is the relationships that the Lord has called us to in discipleship, is that you have iron sharpening iron. You have people in your life holding you accountable in a way that maybe isn't always comfortable, but it pulls off all those pieces that don't need to be there. And then afterwards, you need to pray. You need to cover yourselves and cover each other. You need to wash away all of those pieces. And then it's like having a new blade. It's like having a new person. But that's what relationship does. That's what discipleship does, is it hones us into the people that God has created us to be. I also think that discipleship is the hardest because it causes friction, right? Relationship is hard. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like being held accountable. I tend to be defensive. And so having relationship with me isn't always the easiest thing. You can ask my husband. He'll probably tell you that. But discipleship relationships are essential. The Bible tells us that. Jesus modeled that. He could have done all the things on his own, but he had disciples. He had relationship with people. Now, biblical sacrifice, surrender, submission, service, these are all key factors in our commitment to love Jesus and love others. I would go as far to say is if you aren't in a space where you want to understand the truth of what biblical service is, then you are probably not a Christian. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to be like Jesus. And that's the hard part of being a Christian. I know last week Pastor Blaine shared this quote from somebody about how Jesus doesn't make you happy, right? Jesus never promised us happiness. And there was a song when I used to teach Bible study, and obviously we went away from this curriculum afterwards, but it was called Jesus Makes Me Happy. And the Bible, in no way, shape, or form does it say that Jesus makes us happy. Jesus has created the perfect opportunity for us to have joy and peace and patience and kindness and understanding and all of those things. But Jesus doesn't make us happy like that. But we do have access to happiness and joy through relationship with him and relationship with others. And it's funny because for years and years and years, scholars and therapists and teachers and preachers have all tried to figure out how to do this. How do we be all that we can be? How do we become the best people possible? And the world tells us that I can do that on my own. The world tells us that if I just do what I'm supposed to do, then I'll be good to go. Or maybe if I know all the things that I need to know, then I'll be good to go. Or maybe if I'm associated with certain people or have a certain job or a certain position, that I will achieve the success that I need to achieve. And Scripture tells us that the opposite is true. You must become least to become greatest in the kingdom. Over and over and over again, we're told we have to fix ourselves. We have to know everything. We have to do everything to be everything. And this is where the world gets it wrong and the Bible gets it right. But because we live in this world, it's one of the hardest things as Christians to sacrifice and to surrender and to submit to the Lord. Because the number one thing that we have to sacrifice and surrender and submit is ourselves. Is my life or my, I know how to do it or I can do it or whatever. I have to submit my will to the Father over and over and over again. Because if all we need is us, then we don't need God, right? That's what the world is telling us. And this is why these things are so important, because this is what the world is telling the next generation. So what the next generation needs more than anything is to see the apostles and saints serving and surrendering and submitting to God. Research shows us that because I said so doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't work anymore. But what does work is love and care and showing kids and young ones how we can love them and still be obedient to the Lord at the same time. How we can care and serve one another. Because they're watching. They're watching everything that we do. And how often do we say, I don't need you. I don't need help. I can do this myself. If that's all they're seeing, that's what they're going to grow up to assume is true. Because here's the thing, that's a lie. It is a lie that I can do it all myself and that I don't need help. That is a lie. But that is the lie that the world is teaching our children. And so they have to see us say, I don't know. I need help. Even more so, they need to hear us pray, Lord, help me. Lord, help my son, help my daughter. Lord, help my friend. They need to see people together praying on their knees together for the Lord to do whatever they need, for whether it's healing or whatever you want to pray about. You have to be an example and show them that this is how we operate as children of God. So we come back to those questions. Are you fully surrendered to God? Are you fully submitted to God? Are we fully committed to sacrificing for Him? The answer is no. Like, this is like, no, we're not. Because daily we have to kill our flesh over and over and over again to try to do this. But the joy and the hope is that we get to continue to do this until the day of Christ Jesus. That I get to continue to grow in Him. I get to continue to follow Him and pursue Him. I get to continue to learn what it means to surrender and sacrifice and submit to the Lord. Because when I do those things, my path is made straight. When I do those things, I'm aligned with Him and His will. And even though I may not know all the things, I can say I did what He told me to when He told me to do it. And so as we get ready to close, I just have some bonus questions for you. What if a time of prayer and fasting in your life was the thing that unlocked whatever's locked up in your heart? What if a specific discipleship relationship in your life was the catalyst for breaking bondage that's holding you down? Or what if that relationship is the key for someone else to be set free from something? What if actually diving into Scripture as the Lord calls you to showed you that Jesus was your best friend? What if we went and served the person that the Lord had put on our heart? What would He do with that? And I'm saying this to me, I'm saying this to you, I'm saying this to all of us. What if we adopted an actual rhythm of service and sacrifice and surrender? Just like Abraham in that moment, I don't want to have to think about it. I want to be able to just do what the Lord wants me to do. I want it to be automatic. I don't want it to be impulsive. I want it to be intentional. What if we pursued the Lord with all that we are? What if we did get to the place where we could surrender to Him and submit to Him and sacrifice for Him only for the sole purpose of knowing who He is and to give Him glory? Would you stand with me as we close today? And I don't know what the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning, but I know that in this series that Pastor Blaine started, the Lord has shown me that inside of all of our trials, He's teaching me. Inside of all the hard things, He's still guiding my steps. So I can with joy pursue submission. I can with hope and peace serve Him. And that all of those things can go together. Where my human fleshly self thinks that hard things are terrible, He comes to me with His soft Holy Spirit and He says, nope, it's peace, it's joy, it's hope. That's where those things come out of, is when we serve Him and surrender to Him. That's where those things come from. Father God, I thank You today that You have a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives, Lord. That You know the things that we need to work on individually, Lord, and that You have set a plan in motion to bring things and people and obstacles and education into our lives in a way that points us straight to You, Lord. Father, I thank You that You have a hope for our future, and that everything that we've learned today is teaching us to follow You along that path towards the future, Lord. That I can't do it on my own, that only You can do it, Lord. We love You, we honor You, we surrender what we need to You, and we submit to Your will. In Jesus' name.